dunkled in my pants.
I dunkled in my pants. That's fucking hilarious. Is that really the name of it?
Yeah.
Oh, I fucking love that, dude. Okay.
Gold medal, GABF.
Yeah, gold medal World Beer Cup 2 times and gold medal GABF once.
You're a two-timer. Okay, yeah. I fucking heard about you. Excellent. Right on, man. So, welcome to Beer Friends Forever.
Thank you so much, Renee.
Thank you for being here, Kevin. And our podcast is pretty simple. So the idea is I bring somebody in. We chat about everything, you know, kind of personal stories and life and stuff. Obviously, we're going to talk a little bit about what you do and what you've been doing here in Tokyo as well. So I look forward to hearing a little bit more about that. Feel free to ask me anything if you have any questions. I'm not that interesting, but if I can offer you some insight on myself, I'm happy to do that.
Great.
We are filming from beautiful Oyamadai, Tokyo. And it's your first time, I'm assuming, here to Oyamadai.
Yes. So your first time in Japan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. And you've been in town all of like 3 days, 4 days?
Yeah,
now?
It feels like quite a whirlwind. Yeah. Jesse and I got in on Monday.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's the jet lag?
I think the jet lag initially was what we were feeling. And now I don't know if it's hangover or if it's jet lag. It's hard to distinguish now.
Maybe it's a combination of both and shit.
And is it? The Japanese are incredible. They just go out and party so hard and then just show nothing that they're hurting at all.
It's bananas, dude.
What is that? It's incredible. How do we harness that?
The drinking culture here, though, is definitely on another level.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm from San Diego. That's my hometown. It's not, you know, like a huge city, but it's a pretty big city.
It's a good-sized city.
We get down.
It's over a million.
Absolutely. I think that's a good marker. And you know, we like to fucking party and shit.
Hell yeah.
When I came here... Fuck.
Out of your element.
Yeah, completely out of my element. I don't know if you've seen online, there's a pretty infamous, I guess, maybe Instagram account or online thing called Shibuya Meltdown.
Oh, no.
And this thing is just pictures of generally like salary people, men and women, who are just so hammered. And I've definitely been on the train, had to walk over somebody who's kind of blocking the door. And it's like, you want to help them up. And then they kind of start fighting you. And you're like, I get it. I understand why everybody left you there. I'm going to walk over you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy shit though.
Oh my God.
But I'm assuming you guys weren't at that level yesterday. You just had a good time.
No, we were at that level day one.
Day one.
Day one.
Yeah. The jet lag will help with that.
We came in, we felt the energy immediately. We were at Titans, had a couple beers at Titans.
Yes.
Found our way to Golden Guy.
Oh, sweet. Okay, good. Oh, shit. You made it the first night, dude.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so we were in Golden Guy. We were drinking some whiskey, some mezcal, some snake wine, spirit.
Is this the Chinese one?
Yeah. I think it's like rice wine with, I couldn't tell you what snake was in there.
Right. Okay. Bro, you don't even know the snake? Come on.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know the snake, but it was very snake-like, the flavor.
I've heard that actually, yeah.
So I don't know if it was the snake wine that did it or the 17 beers that did it. But yeah, we weren't feeling great the next day.
Do you remember any of the bars that you went to in Golden Guy? Because I know, like, even living here 6 years, I don't give a shit, man. I love going to Golden Guy.
Sure.
They call it a fucking tourist trap. It's just a fun place to hang out.
It was super fun. I couldn't tell you the name of the bars because there were so many of them. And it's, you know, as an English speaker only, you know, it's really hard to like understand where I am.
Looking
at a sign, I'm like, oh, yeah, I couldn't even point
like
that back out.
The place with the door, there was a stair.
There was a person. There were 3 to 6 seats.
Right.
There were people drinking.
Sounds like a very unique spot.
This was well into the night already. We had been having fun for hours at this point.
Right on. Okay. How long are you here till? I'm sorry.
So Jesse and I fly out tomorrow.
Oh, you fly out tomorrow. Yep. Oh shit. So you got like one night left.
Yep. Tonight's the last night.
All right. So if you make it back there and you haven't got a chance to go to Deathmatch in Hell. That's a fun place.
Okay.
So it's
tell me about that.
It's a fucking, again, you kind of described it already. There's like 6 to 8 people drinking and there's a guy and a dude and booze. But he's got tons of fucking horror movies all over the place. Even on the counter, all VHS lined up.
Oh, that's rad.
There's a fucking, like a SM fucking, you know, Yoda there with fucking arms chained to him and shit. It's wild, bro. It's wild. But I definitely recommend going to check it out if you decide to close out the night that way.
Sure. Yeah, I think we're going to take it as it comes. And if we get a craving for snake wine, we're going to follow our nose, you know?
You're developing a taste. Good to know. All right, man. So usually the way the podcast works is we start out with just some quick fire questions.
Yeah, let's do it.
And then just a little bit of Q&A about who you are and what you do. Before I get into the quick fire, I'd love to just have you, if you can, introduce yourself and tell people, who are you? What do you do?
Absolutely. Yeah. My name is Kevin Ashford. I'm the brewmaster for Figueroa Mountain Brewing Company on California's Central Coast. We have three breweries, but we have an additional tasting room as well. So four locations currently.
Okay.
We brew a lot of classic style beers. We do push the envelope with new and kind of cutting edge techniques and recipes and ingredients. We're inspired by Californian brewers. We're inspired by worldly brewers. As you know, California's got some incredible breweries in it.
Amazing.
And
fucking amazing.
And we've got the weather for beer drinking, you know, where it's just every day is an opportunity to have a sneaky one where you want it. So I manage all of our breweries, and we have a production brewery in Buellton, which is north of Santa Barbara, by about 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's where we do the majority of our production. But then we have two other pubs that we kind of get to play around with. And I kind of say it's the places where ideas either thrive or die. So it's a great test kitchen, if you will.
These are kind of like smaller pilot systems and
stuff? Totally.
Okay.
Yep.
What kind of I'm just curious, right? Yeah. I mean, we'll get into the Q&A, but I'm curious with the pilot systems. What kind of stuff do you get into there? Like kind of weird recipes things you try there?
We'll do fruited sours. We'll do as traditional English, American, German, European styles. I mean, we'll do pretty much everything. We don't have a lot of limitations there. So it's really an opportunity for me to and my team to start exploring new techniques that we're not necessarily ready to translate over to the large brew house and that's something that would see more of a larger production.
Sweet. It's like a sandbox, right?
Yep, absolutely. That's beautiful, a great way to describe it. So we'll, you know, we have amazing raw material vendors that'll call me up and say, hey, I've got this new hop varietal or this new hop product that's basically in trials right now. Can I send you some? Have you play around with it? We'll take notes. We'll run some analysis and data on it. So it's kind of giving back and forth where I'm getting to try new ingredients or raw materials or processes and they're getting some data back. So they're able to share that with the rest of their customers.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
Really cool.
It's awesome. Yeah, I love it.
So if I can ask, tell me a little bit about Figueroa Mountain, and then if you can, maybe about your just kind of quick like history with them or
totally
with them.
Yeah, absolutely. So Figueroa Mountain was founded by Jamie and Jim Dietenhofer in 2010. It was founded in Buellton, California. Jamie and Jim, it's a father-son duo. Jamie's the son. Jim unfortunately passed away a few years ago, but his spirit lives forever in the walls of Figueroa Mountain, as well as the town of Buellton, Santa Barbara. He's just a legendary guy that, you know, he was destined to open a place that brought people together. That's just his nature. And I think beer does that very well. So, again, we've been open since 2010. We make beer styles of all kinds. I've been with the company since 2013. We're coming into our 13th anniversary here in November. And my boss Jamie has just got great vision. He loves bringing people together, and we love brewing beer. I mean, that's really what we love to do.
Yeah, I met Jamie at Titans on Monday when I was there at Titans in Otsuka and here in Tokyo, and super cool guy.
Oh yeah,
I mean right away.
Like, there's a reason I've been working with him for 10 years.
Yeah, super cool guy, knowledgeable, like makes you feel comfortable right away. I love that. You know, he seems very in tune with what's going on. And it's Figueroa Mountain's first time in Japan.
It is. Yeah. Right? This is our first opportunity to be in Japan. We have our good friend Jamie Oreck, who is with Hop Buds in Nagoya. Jamie have a working history together, and they're good friends. Jamie's been trying to get us to bring our beer over to Japan for some time, and it just seemed like right now was a great opportunity.
So, that's great, man. Yeah, yeah, I met Jamie from Nagoya from Hop Buds a few years ago. I was actually traveling for work in a previous life, if you will. And I really loved his shop, had a lot of great beer, some unique stuff as well, too. And he's from San Diego.
So, totally.
Yeah,
it was really you guys nice must connection. Have hit it off right away.
Right away, man. Yeah, it's pretty easy in that sense. But that's so great that, you know, you're coming over not just kind of introducing Figueroa Mountain to Japan, but with somebody that you've had a history with as
totally.
Well, that knows your brand and knows what you guys are about.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really a great shepherd, you know, for us to, and very welcoming. Not only bringing our beer and sharing what we do, but sharing a little bit about what the Japanese beer scene is all about. And that's been great.
Yeah, that's really important too. All right, so let me get into the quick fire now that we've given kind of a little background to folks who may not know you or may not know Figueroa Mountain. Mm-hmm. Most fun city you ever traveled for work?
Most fun city I've ever traveled for work. I mean, Japan's up there right now.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been in a lot of cities the past few days, so it's kind of hard to nail one. One of my favorite cities on earth is Munich.
Munich, excellent.
Germany.
Okay.
I've been there 5 times now, and every single time I get to learn a little bit more about the history of the beers that I love to emulate. But I mean, when you're traveling for work and your work is beer, you find a way to have fun in pretty much every city you're in.
That's for sure.
But I love the brewing traditions in Germany, and visiting Munich is always incredible. But Osaka the other day was incredible. We had such a good time.
Osaka's rad.
It was just super awesome. Just everything about it we loved. And Tokyo is just this massive city with so much opportunity and so much creative energy, and you can really feel it. I mean, it's just insane. So I only spending, you know, 2.5 days or so in Tokyo, and just realizing how massive it is and how much there is here.
Starting to scratch the surface a little bit, right?
You could never see it all.
You're coming back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think that's going to topple, you know, any experience I've ever had in other cities with beer. I mean, there's just endless opportunity and endless things to explore.
Yeah. Yeah. And close to Tokyo as well, Kanagawa and north of here as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've been in Japan, obviously, for about a week or so. Tell me, what's the best thing you've eaten in Japan so far?
Oh, wow. Actually, it's very simple, but I've never had it so fresh or something like this. But we had wasabi rolls. It was literally just a super simple, like, wasabi maki.
Wow.
And
wait, so like just wasabi and
just
rice?
Just wasabi and rice and nori. And I love horseradish. I love wasabi. So it was very spicy. They got it as a joke. It was Todd at Titans. He had gotten it for us. I think it was more of like a test.
Yeah.
He was like, let's see.
He's fucking with you.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, let's see if they can handle this. And then, you know, by the end of the dinner, after we ordered like 3 or 4 orders of those, Jamie was just throwing them into our mouths from across the table. And that was certainly a very memorable food experience.
He didn't know who he was messing with, Kevin. You're like, please.
Keep them coming.
Yeah, absolutely. He's like, I'm going to get one to fuck around with them. You're like, we'll take 3 more.
Oh, we loved it. Excellent, yeah, the food's been incredible.
Good shit.
Really been enjoying it.
All right, so we're getting to Tokyo summer, and you guys are lucky that you're going to miss it. I think this is probably the best time. We had a little bit of rain the other day.
I was like, are we missing it?
You came at the right time. The humidity is going to start soon, and it is nasty.
I can already feel it in the air a little bit, but I'm originally from Maryland. Maryland has sweltering humidity, so I'm kind of used to that.
Okay, but then
I moved to California for 10 years, and it's nice and dry, and you know, it's temperate. And now I'm in Tokyo, and I'm wondering when I start sweating again. You know,
10 years, you're basically a Californian. Yeah. So you're spoiled.
My body's acclimated. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. So We definitely feel it being in the, you know, in the train stations or in the metro, and you're just anticipating that next train to come in. So you get some breeze to stir it up cool you down for a brief moment of respite. And then you're thinking about your next beer.
I've been here 6 years, man. And the summers are oof. When I get older, because I'm old. When I get older, though, I'm definitely going to fucking find a place in Hokkaido, because this place is I mean, as much as I love Tokyo, and everybody talks about like the 4 seasons in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. Fuck the 4 seasons. You could take
3 seasons.
I'll take 2. Yeah. I'll take like, you know, San Diego, and then that like 1 month where it rains in San Diego, and then that's it.
And that's fine.
And I'm happy with that. But I still love this city.
Hokkaido's the north, right?
Hokkaido's the north. Yeah, the Island. Super, super north. So cool. I'd love a little chill spot over there. Plus, I love fucking uni, you know?
Oh, yeah.
The really good uni comes from
there. Yeah, we love uni in Santa Barbara.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Actually, Santa Barbara has some of the best uni in the world.
Yeah, we're known for it.
That area in Hokkaido. That's
It's very popular in Santa Barbara. We love it. Yeah.
Excellent, man. All right, I got 2 more quick fire questions.
Let's do it.
One is your favorite hop variety.
Wow, this is really a difficult question, and I get asked this question often.
Yeah, it's a common question.
It's crazy. Man, to narrow it down to one varietal is nuts, because you got to think about what is one hop that can, you know, hit all these different points of aroma and flavor that you're looking for without, you know, being too overwhelming in one way or another. And I like brewing classic style beers, so I revert back to a lot of like traditional hops from Germany, noble varieties. But American hops are just – on a whole other tier right now. They're just, they're so impressive. And the cultivation that's happening in Washington, Idaho, and Oregon right now is just absolutely incredible. So I think right now I'm going to say something that probably 75% of the people that you'd be interviewing would say, and I'm going to go with Mosaic.
Mosaic.
I love Mosaic. It really is. It's a shapeshifter. It can do really tropical things. It can do really resinous, piney, cannabis-like things. It's really an exciting hop, and I think we're just starting to scratch the surface of what it's capable of.
Excellent, dude. Very cool. That's exciting, actually. Yeah. So, unfortunately, you're not going to be here, but next Saturday, July 1st, I don't know when we're going to edit this in post, but we've got our anniversary coming up, and I don't know if you got a chance to try any beers from Devilcraft Brewing.
So, we actually went to Devilcraft yesterday.
Ah, beautiful, dude. Yeah. Okay, did you meet the guys over there?
Absolutely, good guys. Oh, incredible. Yeah, we had such a good time. It was just unbelievable.
We're meeting up with them this evening for dinner.
Oh, beautiful. Where are you guys going?
To their Geo spot.
Oh, sweet. You're going like next door, basically.
Yeah.
Dude.
They do Detroit style there.
The Detroit style. Don't even get me started. I fucking just posted episode 5 and I've got like a 5-minute soliloquy on their Detroit style. It's fucking amazing. You're going to have a blast.
Nice.
But they were gracious enough to collaborate with us on an anniversary beer.
Sweet.
And they have a beer called Rhineland Whispers, which we really love. This Kelch style beer, and they did one with some Mosaic dry hopping.
Oh, that sounds great.
So yeah, well, you know, we're gonna hope so, but knowing those guys, it was, you know, a little bit my idea and kind of based on some things I like, but knowing those guys, they nailed it. I was just like, why don't you throw this in there and then we can, you know, see how it works. And fucking, they were gracious enough to listen to my nonsense. So
the beers we had yesterday were incredible. I mean, we had a hoppy light lager, like hoppy Helles beer, which was fantastic.
Sweet.
We had just been walking from the train station and we're sweating like brutal. We're dragging bags and we're just dripping sweat basically. And then they're just pouring us the coldest, freshest beers right off the tank and
hit the spot.
Oh, it was perfect.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
So yeah, we loved the beers over there. Yeah. The team is fantastic and so friendly as well.
Excellent, man.
Yeah.
Did you guys get a chance to do any collaboration? I know it's kind of short.
So we did have a collaboration with West Coast Brewing in Shizuoka.
Beautiful, dude.
Which was awesome. Derek and Grant there, they're just fantastic people.
Yeah.
Incredible beers. What they're doing there with their craft beer hotel as well is just a really interesting concept. Yeah. And you can tell it's a cool town that just likes to kick back and have a good time with some beers. And I think they're doing some incredible stuff.
I'll be honest with you. I haven't had a chance to get over there yet. And, that's one of the places that is very, very high on our list
for
places
sure.
to hit.
I would recommend it. Yeah.
I think, you know, in the short time that you've been here, you've seen like the craft beer here scene is really, like at a crazy exploding pace.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Things are blowing up right now.
You can tell again, coming into Tokyo, the energy is explosive.
Yeah.
And I think, again, you know, making beer, there's so much to explore and so much to create. And I think anybody who's interested in producing beer should do it. And I'm watching it happen live in Japan right now. And
excellent, man.
A lot of great ideas are coming out. We were at Inkhorn Brewery yesterday. With Shun there and his beers were fantastic as well. He has a really interesting approach to making beer and they were incredible. I mean,
did you try the anniversary beers?
I don't think we had the anniversary. We had a couple IPAs.
They had the West Coast IPA anniversary one was a Beaky Monster.
We might have had that.
Double. And then Lovebirds was the other one, the Hazy. So actually before I met you guys at Titans, I went over to Inkhorn and tried those beers specifically.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, particularly that West Coast, that Beaky Monster was
the West
super
Coast was
good.
Incredible. So we definitely had that. And then we had the other was a shoot, what was that? Oh, he had a sour IPA with guava and passion fruit.
Oh.
That was just like so bright.
Was this the Vacation Mysteries one?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Yep. That was super
It was very
nice.
Good. And then the other beer that we had, what was the other one? He had a West Coast IPA as well. That was just fantastic.
Excellent.
Double Finch, the Vacation Mysteries.
Vacation Mysteries. There was one
the
more.
Java
at the
Finch,
end.
The double. Okay. Yeah,
they
super
were great.
Nice beers.
Oh, his beers were fantastic.
He's killing it, man.
He absolutely is.
There's I mean, I just wish they're like, you know, whatever. what am I trying to say? Wish they could make more beer.
Totally. He's got a small brewery. They're pumping out what they can.
And, yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, everyone is going to want to taste Chun's beer when they try it for the first time.
Yeah. Great guy. Amazing beer. I'm so glad you got a chance. So it sounds like Jamie's taking you to the right places.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah. Jamie's, again, been such a great steward of beer in Japan.
Very cool.
And it's been a treat.
Very cool.
About our badass hosts in Osaka.
Bach Brewery in Osaka was incredible. We did an event there the other day that was just such a blast. They make fantastic beers, but they were just unbelievable hosts of our beer as well.
Beautiful.
They put four of our beers on draft, and you know, we just blew the doors off and got to meet a ton of great people that were really passionate about beer. So
very cool, man.
Can't thank the Bach team enough. It was such a great time and just a beautiful city with a lot of great energy surrounding beer. A
lot of great energy in Osaka. I mean, my current home and possibly my forever home, you know, now that we've got the bar here set up is Tokyo. But I definitely have a sweet spot for Osaka. My wife, who I'm in the bar together with, Kyoko, she is from Nishinomiya. She was born in Kobe, though.
Okay.
So when we go home and see her folks or whatever, you know, it is at their house, it's very close. So we get over to Osaka and hang out and drink. And it's such a different vibe there, you know, not necessarily better or worse, but so much fun, just sheer fun.
It was everywhere we went was like, oh, wow, this is here now? Oh, this is just incredible.
Yeah, very cool.
Any street we walk down.
Yeah. Figaro Mountain's first time here in Japan.
Yes.
You guys have been around for a while.
Yep.
Craft beer has been around in Japan for a while. Mm-hmm. What kind of motivated this first visit, you know, as a brewer, as a company, et cetera?
Sure. I think, we're, the company's nearly 13 years old. And I think, when you're in the same grind and you're a distribution brewery and you're selling beer, up and down the state, you can tend to want to fall into a groove and start to, you know, you got an idea of what you think beer is and you kind of lay in that groove and you hone that groove for a long time. It's hard to get re-inspired at times. So doing trips, like coming to a place that just has, again, just such creative energy and just everything is so fresh and new in this beer scene. And I'm just watching people, you know, explore all these great ideas and try and fail and succeed. And that's what making beer is all about is finding out flavor profiles, aroma profiles, just ingredients that work together or don't work together, but you got to explore it and discover for yourself. So for us, it's so important to just get back out there and explore and learn from each other.
I love that you called that out specifically, the trying and the failing, because realistically, I think that Japan is still, the craft beer scene in Japan is still in such a stage where we're kind of like in that third wave, right? Kind of like that third wave coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Where right now it's exploding. There's so many new breweries opening up. They can't all be good.
Yes.
It's impossible.
Sure.
Right? Just the knowledge and the experience and the amount of the people in Japan that can brew at a high level, it's not so high. But I think that taking everything that they can learn, because we're such a fucking connected world, right?
Oh, for sure. So
whether it's recipes or experience or YouTube videos, et cetera, and then kind of building off of that is really exciting.
For sure.
And I think that it's so cool that you get re-inspired coming to Japan and kind of seeing almost not a redo of what happened in the US, but kind of.
It's very much very similar. Yeah. I mean, it's a thought process. It's somebody was inspired by somebody else. And then it was like, okay, absolutely. Well, maybe we can do something like that. And let's put our spin on it. Let's figure out how we want to leave, you know, our mark. What are we doing that's different? And I think everyone's constantly exploring that option and how do you separate yourself and be true to yourself at the same time. And I think watching what's happening in Japan, I'm seeing a lot of creativity being applied to these beers. And, you know, some of these brewers are going to be leaving indelible marks on the craft beer industry any minute.
Yeah.
if they haven't already.
I think that's really great. And I think that, you know, one of the interesting things for me kind of watching it for firsthand here and coming from, you know, I moved here 6 years ago, but, you know, I grew up, I was born and raised in San Diego.
Yeah.
So watching fucking Stone, watching Ballast Point from like Homebrew Mart, you know, seeing those things firsthand, and then coming here, it's exciting, you know, obviously not on the same level.
Sure. Everything starts somewhere.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, from you, like as far as your brewing experience and kind of what you've experienced as a newer shop owner.
Yeah.
And as a craft beer fan, you know, first and foremost, to kind of see those things develop again is super exciting. So kind of imagine how you might be reinvigorated, you know, from kind of hitting those things that you do, which is getting a lot of beer out that's high quality to your folks all the time. And then coming here and saying, oh, shit, like this is kind of reminds me of, et cetera.
It reminds you that you can always do more.
Yeah.
And that there's always inspiration out there. And we got to go find it or we just sit there in that groove.
Absolutely. So tell me, one of the things you've noticed here in this kind of short time, how does the brewing scene just compare to the U.S.? And I know it doesn't compare, but there's definitely some comparisons to be made. Like what would, you know, from your place of experience, what do you see?
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Beer it brings people together and that's never going to change. So that overlaps right away. You're seeing the taproom models. It's just a natural watering hole where people gather and we're sharing ideas. We're communicating all over, you know, this beverage that's been around for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And that's something that is just going to be constant. And that certainly overlaps, you know, whether we're in America, Japan, Europe, Australia, it doesn't matter where you are. There's going to be people rallying around the pint, you know, and having a good time. So I'm seeing that culture developing more and more. And Japan has already had, you know, this great drinking culture we were talking about earlier.
Absolutely.
And now it's like, okay, like let's add another craft element to it where the Japanese, in my experience, they love artisan and artisanal. You know, people spend their entire lives working in one trade and doing something to the best of their abilities. I think craft beer is no different. And it's just a great way to get together.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that because, you know what, while it's not the same thing, on that note, though, I really agree that from an outsider's perspective, and I think I'm always going to be an outsider here no matter how long I live here.
Sure.
But one of the things I learned to appreciate just on my initial vacation is how you're right. I think that people dedicate themselves to something.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen, you know, mottos and things from craft breweries, you know, dedicated to the craft. And sorry if I, you know, call somebody specifically out there. But what I'm saying is like those mottos are kind of what we see. However, this is something that this country's been doing for a long time in so many different areas.
Sure.
So to see them do it about craft beer is pretty exciting. So let me ask you here. In Japan, you've probably tried a few craft beers. I mean, you've already told me about some of the places you went. Were there any like unique ingredients that you saw using some of the beers?
Yep, absolutely. So I've noticed basically, I think there is a regionality to brewing beer. And I think you're inspired by what's around you naturally. So when visiting some breweries and seeing yuzu, seeing lemongrass, some were using particular rice varieties that I've never even heard of, like that I'm not familiar with, all kind of taken in tongue and cheek with, you know, these classic styles, but putting these kind of new age spins on them. Like yuzu is such a unique ingredient to Asia and Japan, especially. And, we were tasting just some great beers, like, you know, lighter wheat beers that citrus and wheat, they just go hand in hand. And to see, you know, a creative ingredient like yuzu applied is really exciting. That's just, you know, one example that I tried. Bock Brewery actually made a really great beer that was using bergamot tea. And that
I thought
was really cool. We've made some tea beers before, but this was really unique. And when I asked the brew team there, I wasn't sure if they were just using bergamot, the citrus, or there's actually a hop varietal called bergamot that's was first cultivated in Michigan in America. So I was, is it the hop? Is it the fruit? And they were like, actually, it's the tea. And I said, oh, wow, it's the tea. And then suddenly when you're tasting it, it has this really pleasant floral note that's kind of paired with this great citrus character. And I was like, man, that's just such a unique profile that I've never had before. And it's a winner, man. It's such
very
a great,
cool.
great beer. But again,
wow. I'm really interested in trying that.
Unique ingredients. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Cool. So let me ask you too, one of the things I was thinking about in as far as like kind of the US and the Japan scene, and I'm really interested in your point of view because it's your first time in Japan.
Right.
Right. As a professional brewer who's been brewing for a long time, you said you like those classic styles.
Yeah.
What do you see as far as like differences in specific beer styles. So let's take like some of the haze craze.
Yep.
Right? Everybody's fucking doing hazes.
Sure. Yeah.
So you've probably tried a couple of the Japanese hazies now. What do you see like the differences between the US and the Japanese versions?
Well, I think there's a lot of overlap with the hazy IPAs in particular. Mm. I think hazy IPA is a I call it a gateway beer. I think it's for people that don't understand a lot about craft beer, but are looking for a welcoming beer style that's not overly bitter, soft in texture. It's going to be hazy IPA. And I think it's a really good place to start for a lot of people that are trying to get into craft beer. And brewers are able to kind of layer different hops. It's a great exploration beer style to learn about hop varieties, because you can say, okay, I know that this hop variety, it's more citrus notes, whether it's like lemon, lime, grapefruit, the whole gambit, like whatever it is, I know that pairs really well, you know, with this other. And you'll start to understand what does well together.
Figaro Mountain now is available in Japan.
Yep.
Right? Hoppa seems to be a partner that we're going through for kegs and cans and things of that nature, which is awesome.
That's right?
Yep. Reaching out to Jamie if you got a bar and you want to carry some Figaro Mountain. What are some of the challenges you think coming into the Japanese market as like, and I don't want to say like a new brewery to Japan though.
Totally.
Right.
I think people who haven't had the beer, it's a new brewery, and without any kind of understanding or background or anything that could give you an inkling of what our beers taste like or what our philosophy is. I think it's challenging to make noise as a newcomer, you know? And I think our goal isn't to come in and say, hey, this is how Americans make beer and, you know, everybody should like these beers. It's more, hey, look, there's things happening around. Maybe our beers will inspire somebody, like some of the beers I tasted on this trip inspired me.
Yeah.
So I truly believe that beer is an amazing tool for cultural exchange. And I think I've been, again and again, I've been inspired by beers from all over the world.
That's awesome, man. It's a great way to look at it. And I think one of the interesting things is that, you know, when beers come over from the US, sometimes people tend to have this impression of like American craft beer, like, oh, everything's going to be like bitter and strong, yep, et cetera. But, you know, you were talking about one of your beers that won GABF two times, right?
Yeah,
We've established you're a two timer. So tell us about that beer, because I'm really looking forward to trying that. And I haven't got a chance to yet.
Sure.
So please tell me about that.
Yeah. So at the Titans event, we had multiple beers on that are multiple award winners.
Okay. Excellent.
So I'll just run through them really quickly.
Please. Yeah, please.
We had Stagecoach Stout on. That's our oatmeal stout. That's one of our most awarded beers. It's won a few gold medals at Great American Beer Festival. It's won some medals as well at World Beer Cup. We had our American Brown Ale. That's called Davy Brown, named after a pioneer of the Central Coast in California. That beer, that's one, I believe it's three gold medals at GABF. Somebody's looking this up on the internet right now.
I think it's three. Checking your stats.
It's won several medals. It's one of our most awarded as well. We're really proud of that beer. That was Jim Dietenhofer, Jamie's father's favorite beer. So it's got a soft spot for all of us.
Yeah, man.
It's really one of those beers we love to share with people. Then we had, I Dunkled in My Pants, the Munich Dunkel. That won back-to-back World Beer Cup golds. That was in 2016 and 2018. And it won a Great American Beer Festival gold in 2017. So we had a spree of gold medals for that beer. We love and appreciate that beer so much. And then we had our Danish Red Lager on. That is a Vienna lager. It was named a Hallmark style by the Beer Judge Certification Program.
Wow, really?
As a definition of the style of Vienna lager.
Excellent,
so when people are training, palate training to become a beer judge or be a Cicerone, just an excellent beer steward, Danish Red is known as a hallmark style for Vienna lager. So,
dude, that's awesome.
Which we're thrilled and honored by. And then Hoppy Poppy, which I was talking about earlier, our West Coast IPA, that is won four bronze medals as well.
Okay.
We just started exploring non-alcoholic beers. They are starting to see an appreciation and a interest in non-alcoholic beers starting to peak in America. It's been happening for a long time in Europe.
Yeah.
It's non-alcoholic beers are big there. They're really big in Australia and New Zealand. And I think Americans are wondering what the buzz is all about. And I think it's, for lack of a better term, it isn't about a buzz. It's about, enjoying your time with your friends, but maybe you didn't need that last beer. Maybe you're just taking the week off, you know, or whatever, but it's still important to have those social relationships with people. And we're looking for an opportunity to create that for those that don't necessarily want to be drinking alcohol at any given time.
Yeah. If it's a flavorful drink, man, I mean, that doesn't have the ABV or, you know, for some people like the calories.
Totally.
Too, right?
Yeah. And exactly. Like a most standard IPAs in, you know, a 330 or 350 milliliter format, they're somewhere in the neighborhood of 180 to 220 calories, most likely.
Let's be honest. We're all drinking bread and we love it.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. And you're not going to stop me. All right. I'm going to keep doing it.
That's a great option though for people. Absolutely.
Yeah, the NA is only about, 50 calories versus, you know, 200 or in excess of 200, you know, so it's a great opportunity for those that are watching their caloric intake or again, are just taking some time off from alcohol.
Excellent. Man, I want to say thank you so much for coming by. Thank you for kind of giving us some insight on Figaro Mountain and what you guys are doing in Japan right now, on some of your beers, on some of the experiences you guys have had in Japan as well, too. I really, really appreciate it.
Well, Rene, I just want to thank you so much for having us. It's been such an honor and a treat to share our beer. And I really, really appreciate you having us on.
Same, man. Yeah. Absolutely. Thanks so much. Guys, thank you so much for listening to episode 6. We're going to sign off. And again, I don't know when we're going to post this, possibly before the anniversary. So if we haven't had the anniversary come out on Saturday, July 1st, we've got some original beers with some of the breweries that we talked about today. Devil Craft Brewing, West Coast Brewing, and some other good stuff going on. All right, guys. Thanks so much. Thanks for being a beer friend forever. Take care, guys. Cheers.
Thanks again, Renee.
All right, man.